Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Today's show is a message given by Pastor Joe Schimmel to his congregation at Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California. Now here with vital insights from God's Word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
Turn please to Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10 verse 1. I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book which was open. And he placed his right foot on the sea and his left on the land. And he cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. When he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. When the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them." Then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will be delay no longer. Verse 7, but in the days of the voice, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants, the prophets. Now, last week we looked at this angel, this other mighty angel, and we looked at how some scholars and Bible commentators claim it's an angel, others claim it's the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a debate within, you know, theology. It's just an in-house debate. It doesn't prove or disprove your salvation, but there's differences. I personally believe, and I shared with you for the reasons why, that it's referring to an angel. Not only does it say another angel, but Jesus could be called sometimes, which he is in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, but he's never referred to as an angel in the New Testament. And even in the Old Testament references, when Jesus is referred to as the angel of the Lord, it's speaking of God in the flesh, or God, I should say, not taking human flesh as an incarnation and becoming forever the God-man, but a theophany or a Christophany, God taking the appearance of a human being. And over again, we see angels in the Old Testament. When you see the angel of the Lord, almost invariably, he's revealed to be God, worshiped, declared to be God over and over again. In fact, it's a great way to show that Jesus is God. Because the angel of the Lord relates to the Father, yet the angel of the Lord is referred to as God over and over again. But we speak of the angel of the Lord, we're not speaking of an angel by nature, a created being, but by office. The word angelos in the Greek is the word messenger. And that's the word used in the Old Testament, in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament prior to Christ. And the angel of the Lord refers to the messenger of the Lord. That would be God at times, Christ, the second person of the triune Godhood, appeared among men in the form of the angel of the Lord. Even though he wasn't created, he became a messenger from his own realm, you see. But however, when Jesus literally became flesh through the Virgin Mary, who was the virgin at the time but is not now, what happened at that point, he no longer after that is called the angel of the Lord or referred to. He's got many, many titles throughout Scripture, but never in the New Testament. However, this also introduces this angel as another angel, verse 1. It's hard for me to believe that Jesus would just be described as another angel, another reason. I gave various reasons, but probably one of the strongest is there in verses 5 and 6, or verse 6, where this angel swears to him who is in heaven, who created everything. Who is it that created everything? Jesus, amen. We went through various passages where Jesus created everything. And so this angel here is swearing by Jesus. It says nothing was made that was made but by him, by Jesus. Amen. And I went through various passages on that as well. So, but there's some incredible things happening. This is a very powerful angel, and he's described in very powerful ways. And he has this book, you know, that's open. And he has one foot on the earth and one on the sea. And that shows dominion. And he's announcing the dominion that Jesus Christ will come with and bring at the seventh trumpet. When there's delay, there will be delay no longer. The seventh trumpet will blow. Then Jesus will take dominion. And I believe he's been given that scroll by Jesus. Little scroll opened up. It's open. Remember, Jesus was the only one that could open the scroll? Because that scroll was a title deed to the earth. That God was the rightful heir. Jesus is the rightful heir of all things. And that scroll, when it was opened, Jesus received all praise because he redeemed people from every nation and people and tongue. And the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of Christ when the seventh angel blows his trumpet. And that's what this angel is announcing. And then in verse 6, we read, "And swore, that is that angel, by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will be delay no longer." There will be delay no longer. What does it mean, there'll be delay no longer? There will be delay no longer, meaning finally God's end time judgment, and judgments have already been falling, right? We've been reading about the seven seals. We've been reading about the, now we're in the trumpets. But what he's talking about is the ultimate judgment of God in regard to Jesus Christ coming back. We know that from the context. When you read about the seventh trumpet, if you read about some plague of locusts or something like that, it wouldn't make sense. But you read about the second coming of Christ, the consummation of the age, Jesus' return to set up his kingdom on earth. So when it says there'll be delay no longer, keep in mind in Revelation chapter 6, a few chapters earlier, remember the saints under the altar, the souls of those who were slain because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Remember what they were crying out? What were they saying? "How long, O God, until you avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And what does the Lord do? He has them given white robes, and they're told to wait a little while until their fellow brethren are slain or killed the way they were. In other words, there's tribulation going on. There's a trial going on. Tribulation, it speaks of trial, and the people of God are tried. Even the church in Revelation chapter 2, Smyrna, the Lord Jesus tells them that the devil casts them into prison for 10 days that they may be tried, tested. He says, "Be faithful unto death and you will receive the crown of life. You will not be hurt by the second death." So as Christians, as believers, we're tested to see whether or not our faith is real, to see how sincere we are, to see if we will abide in the faith. And we're tested. And when the tribulation takes place, a lot of people like to call it Jacob's trouble and then say, it's just for the Jews. But when you read the scripture, it's for Jews and Gentiles. God is no respecter of persons. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people say, "Hey, well, I want to be out of here before that time comes." Well, I can understand that. But we have to go with whatever the scripture teaches. And I remember some time ago, there's a new Left Behind movie coming out. It's going to be bigger than the other Left Behind movies because it's a bigger production, and Nicolas Cage is starring in it, and what have you is, the airplane pilot, and the other one, Kirk Cameron, had starred in. And I remember I shared with you, most of you, a lot of you knew this story, but right the weekend that movie came out, the very weekend it came out, some of the worship team came to me and said, "Hey, Kirk Cameron's here, and he just starred in that movie, Left Behind. I just saw it last night. It just came out." And I was introduced to Kirk. I never had met Kirk before. I didn't even know what he looked like because I didn't watch The Growing Pains, right? I'd never seen that, And some of you are saying, "Oh, how sad, he never saw Growing Pains." I'm actually thankful, man. I don't watch those sitcoms. Anyway, but it was interesting because I talked to Kirk. He said, "Hey, I'm the Left Behind guy." I go, "Yeah, I heard you just, I knew you were in the movie and stuff." And he goes, "But I listened to some of your messages on the rapture, and I'd never heard before the other position, that the church would go through the tribulation." And he said, "When I looked at the scriptures that you were sharing and looked at," he goes, "I sat under John MacArthur for 10 years. I thought, how could he be wrong? But then I tested by scripture. It's clear that we're going through it." And I've talked to Kirk a number of times since that. And each time he says things like, "I'm more post-trib than ever," And it's important for us to understand that the church will be tested. And that's one reason there will be a delay, because there's a testing going on. Because God is not coming back for a lukewarm, so-called Laodicean church. He's coming back for a church, blameless and without blemish, amen? Amen. And we're blameless by the blood of Jesus, amen? Amen? But the church has some huge character flaws, and trials get the wrinkles out, amen? Trials, you know, separate the wheat from the chaff. That's one reason, though there's a delay, is for the testing of God's people. Another reason there's a delay until a certain point in time is because Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that some people think God is slack in regard to Christ's second coming, but people count differently, he says, than God counts. For he goes on to talk about how to God a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day, meaning God isn't affected by time like we are. And it says he's patient, not willing that any would perish, but that all would what? Come to repentance. So scriptures say he brings his judgments into the world that the nations may learn righteousness. But in Revelation chapter 9, right before the chapter we're in now, chapter 10, we see these horrific judgments come. But we see by and large, we read that the world did not what? Did not repent of her judgments. So what's happening here in Revelation chapter 10 is as we're heading toward the seventh trumpet, it shows that the world has just dug its feet in the ground to follow Antichrist. And most of the world rejects Jesus. And so it goes to the seventh trumpet, which is a picture of the very end. I've shown you before, if you've been in this series, that the sixth seal reveals, if you read the sixth seal in Revelation 6, it's obviously the end. The seventh trumpet is a picture of the end, and the seventh bowl is a picture of the end. So what we do is we fast forward now to what the end's going to look like, the seventh trumpet. And then what happens after that? John backs up again, and God begins to reveal things that lead up to that last trumpet, that sixth seal, that seventh bowl, which are concurrent one with another. I've challenged you before, just diagram it. Just take the sixth seal, seventh trumpet, seventh bowl, and write out everything that happens under those, the sixth seal, seventh trumpet, seventh bowl. You'll see it's all speaking of the very end in the same event, and there's all these parallel aspects of those verses. So that's what we're speaking of. Now, it's amazing because there'll be delay no longer. And even though we're not in heaven among the souls, it says, because the rapture didn't take place when they're crying out yet. It's the souls, it says, not, you know, they're saying how long. They're given white robes because they're not yet completed. They haven't yet been resurrected. How long till you avenge our blood? And he tells them to wait a little while. We're not in that situation. If you die anytime soon and you're a believer, you'll probably be one of those believers up there saying that. However, we also are waiting, amen? All of our work to send missionaries out and witness to the lost works is work toward that ending. Amen? When the consummation of the ages comes, when Jesus returns. All of our prayers, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as Jesus instructed us, on earth as in heaven. Those millions of prayers that have gone up, amen? Will finally be answered when there's delay no longer and that seventh trumpet blows. It's going to be quite amazing.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
When we really focus in on this, we also read in verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God is finished as he preached to his servants, the prophets. Now, it's interesting, that term, when he's about to sound. And I was looking that up, and in the Greek, that term about to sound. Mounts and Johnson and other Greek scholars point out that by the time John wrote the book of Revelation, that word that's translated about can still refer to something that's, you know, just before the seventh trumpet, or it was already being translated as a future tense at that time. So it could also be speaking of the seventh trumpet itself. But I think it's really interesting when you look at it that there's a mystery that does get finished right before the seventh trumpet blows, and we'll see that. But when the seventh trumpet blows, the consummation of that mystery, which is also called another mystery, which is part and parcel of that mystery, will also be fulfilled. Now, I know that's like, what are you saying? Hang on and you'll see what I'm talking about. It makes a ton of sense. Actually, very interesting. But it's interesting also because in verse 7 we read, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, or as some scholars, very prominent Greek scholars point out, sounds, speaking in the future tense, then the mystery of God is finished. And we need to look at that. What's the mystery of God? We're going to spend a lot of time on that, actually, because it's awesome. As he preached to his what? As he preached to his servants, the prophets. The mystery of God has been revealed to what? His servants, the prophets. And it will be fulfilled. And that term, servants, the prophets, is used in another place in the Bible. Remember I told you there's hundreds of allusions in the book of Revelation to the Old Testament, more than any book in the New Testament, because it wraps everything up. Genesis is the Alpha book. Revelation is the Omega book. And it makes sense that God would have all these different prophecies coming to a consummation in the book of Revelation. Well, one of those allusions is found right here, and it has to do with Amos, okay? The book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7, which says this, listen to this, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. That phrase, servants, the prophets, is there it is again. And it's an allusion to that. And it says that God will do nothing unless he first what? Reveals it to his servants, the prophets. God reveals the future to us. He wants those who he loves, those who've responded to the good news, to have a future, to be in on what he's doing. In fact, the scriptures say, without a vision, and the word could be translated prophecy, and it is in some translations, my people go astray. God wants us to be on track with what he's doing. Aren't you happy that you can know what's going to happen to you in the future? Isn't that good news? So surely the Lord will do nothing, but he reveals it to his secret unto his servants, the prophets. He revealed to Noah that there was going to be a what? A worldwide what? A flood. Even to Abraham, he revealed that he would destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He revealed to Jeremiah that they would go into captivity, Judah, the kingdom of Judah for 70 years, right? Revealed to Isaiah and the other prophets that the Messiah would be born. Isaiah to a virgin. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 to Micah, where he'd be born, the little town of Bethlehem. You see, Isaiah and Daniel and David, that he'd be put to death, killed for us. Amazing. David, Psalm 22, crucified. Isaiah 52, resurrected. All these things. Jesus prophesied that the temple would be destroyed. Since he had been rejected as Messiah, not one stone would be lying on the other. The second temple happened. And that the Jews would be dispersed. The diaspora would take place in all the kingdoms of the world. It all happened. All these things happened. They were prophesied many years before they took place. You know what man's track record is when it comes to predictions? Jean Dixon. You don't even hear of her anymore. She lost so much credibility. She was like a so-called psychic years ago. But these psychics are just many New Agers. Millions of New Agers follow this kind of stuff. But their track record is abysmal. They make all these prophecies and almost all of them fail. And after you make 1,000 of these things, of course you're going to get 2 or 3, right? And they'll have them on the radio or you're interviewed. You said this would happen, but they don't talk about the 99% that didn't happen, you know? Now, it's interesting because God forbids fortune telling, palm reading, astrology as satanic. You stay away from that. You go to some town fair or something like that, and oh, look, you get your that grieves the spirit of God. That's what God's word calls satanic. You want to stay away from that. Don't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Saul was put to death after he sought a medium. In fact, in Isaiah 47, it says, God says, warns about seeking out the astrologers, says they can't even deliver themselves from the flame of God's judgment. The irony is that since humans are so bad at making predictions, because we're finite, you know, is that I've noticed that human beings often, because they don't want to be wrong, they enlist animals to tell the future. Anybody see any of that going on recently with the World Cup? Kind of crazy, huh? I saw a story about a week ago with Nelly the elephant in Germany, this big elephant, you know, and there's 2 soccer goals set up, and she's going to predict who's going to win whatever particular game they're looking at in the World Cup by kicking the ball in the goal. And I watched that, and that, you know, on the internet, and Nelly predicted, she kicked a goal. There was a U.S. goal, there was a Ghana goal, and she kicked the goal right into the Ghana goal. And they said, look, she's predicting that the U.S. would win. And well, Nelly got it right. I don't think really Nelly had a clue what was going on. She wanted peanuts, you know, but supposedly Nelly got it right. She went on to predict that Germany would beat France, but she also then went on to predict that Ghana would beat Germany. Ghana went home, lost to Germany. They went home after they lost. About a week later, I saw another story where Flopsy the kangaroo at an Australian zoo picks the winner by selecting food from bowls marked by national flags. And, well, Flopsy correctly picked chili to defeat Australia, but since Flopsy was Australian, I guess she picked Australia over the Netherlands, and they got whipped, and they went home packing. So Flopsy flopped and was a false prophet. Shaheen the camel sits in Dubai desert and picks between flags of two competing teams, selects a winner by biting one of the flags. Shaheen got off to a good start, but then picked Spain over Chile, and Chile upset Spain 2-0, and Spain went home early. Brazil, which we just got back from on a mission trip, they have prophesying parrots. They have a 25-year-old sea turtle called Big Head that makes prophecies. Big Head correctly picked Brazil's victory over Croatia, but picked Mexico to beat Brazil. And Mexico lost to Brazil. However, I will say that if the officiating was better, maybe Mexico would have won that game. Anyway, England, they have miniature donkeys named Alistair and Derek. I don't know if Alistair is related to Aleister Crowley, but picked England as a winner against Italy, and they were wrong. Well, Italy also has prophesying penguins. They picked a draw between England and Italy. Well, Italy beat England, as you might know if you're following the World Cup at all, and England went home early. Oh, and then don't forget Madame Shiva, a Swiss guinea pig. She makes her forecast by pooing at one end of the field, and she picks Switzerland to beat France. But the Swiss lost to France 5-2, so Shiva's choice stunk, I think, my estimation. Okay. Now, why use these animals? Oh, it's the animal that was wrong. But did you know humans have used animals, even in biblical times? The false prophets, they would use the entrails. They'd cut open an animal, they'd pull out a kidney or part of the entrails, and they would look at it and say, this is what, then the prophet would use the animal's pieces to say what the animal was saying would happen in the future. This stuff seems cute and everything, but it's actually part and parcel of what the Bible calls false prophecy. And in the Old Testament, this was so serious that under the theocracy of Israel, if you prophesied falsely and you said this is going to come to pass and it didn't take place, you were stoned to death. Because when you spoke for God, it says in the scripture that if a prophet prophesies and says, to go after another god and says something that's going to come to pass and has a dream and it does come to pass, but they teach you to go after other gods, don't follow them. So there's also false prophets who can be inspired by Satan to actually get some of it right.
You've been listening to pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for the continuation of this important message. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
One thing, that's to know you, oh Jesus.